Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
All right, Todd. So this is the first of many that we are now doing remotely. Yes. Myself in Edmonton and you in Nashville. So we'll see how it goes.
Yes. The weather there is better than it is here.
At the moment.
But that soon will change.
It's true. Now, at the time of this recording, Todd, you just came back from 2 days in Austin for yes. Pipeline. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Okay. So actually, there was a lot of planters there. So shout out to the EFCA. Some of those guys are avid listeners, and I greatly appreciate that. The weird thing to me was I met a couple of guys that listened to 5LQ and they're planters, and they had no idea that New Churches was around.
Really?
I was like,
okay,
what? I don't understand. Like, you're a planter. You should know this. So if you're a planter and you listen to this podcast, you need to tell like five other people about it simply because they need to know. All right. Pipeline is philosophy and framework. So it was just a couple of days walking through the real practical implications and then moving to the applications of what it means to start a leadership pipeline. So some of those guys were in, you know, more established churches. Some had been planted for a year and some hadn't planted yet. And so it was a really interesting mix of people. But everybody has, you know, the same needs and issues when it comes to leadership development because it never stops. And, mm-hmm. you know, transient leadership of, transient leadership, the number of leaders and volunteers that we have that will move or move on to something else, change jobs, whatever it may be. Just means by that very nature, everybody needs a leadership pipeline. And just when you think you've got it all perfect, you know, take a picture of it because it's not going to last. It's something that just requires ongoing work. The beautiful thing is once you prime the pump, it's a lot easier. We help you prime the pump.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's awesome. Well, so let's get into today's question. And the question today has something to do with leadership development. Actually, has a lot to do with it because the Bryce Sanders, who's the one that submitted this question, is really trying to figure out how to do leadership development better in the context of trying to multiply. So let's listen in.
What's up, guys? This is Bryce Sanders, and I'm starting a church with ARC, actually, in Seattle. And I have a question regarding multiplication. And the question is, what happens when you are forming small groups on your launch team during your church plant, and you just don't have the strong enough leaders to break that 14, to break off a group of 30 into two groups of 12 to 14? How would you approach that kind of leadership development within a desire to see multiplication?
All right. Well, I mean, first and foremost, I'm glad that Bryce is thinking multiplication, and I'm right. glad that from the beginning of his plant, instead of, I mean, because honestly, it'd be easy to keep on growing that group of 30, and there'd be a lot of advantages to that, because there's just momentum that can gather, and you can easily move into more of a mid-sized community feel. But I do appreciate the fact that he is thinking, okay, yes. But what about leadership development? Because if you were to break off into two small groups right away, instilling that, or three, yeah, instilling that DNA of multiplication, which necessitates the fact that you need to have leaders to lead those other groups. So that's where I would start, Bryce, from the beginning. or not even from the beginning, because you're now at 30 people, do you have multiple leaders? Do you feel confident that there are multiple leaders who will not just be able to maintain the group as it is, but that they actually have the ability to grow it and then to multiply? Do you have people who are even better at leading a life group than you? Who are those people? And if you don't have those people, hopefully you have a couple of them. If you don't have those people, what are you doing right now at the beginning of your church plant to begin a leadership pipeline?
So I think there's actually a good 9ESL that deals with this. But I use the real life example of a small group and talk about a multiplication model versus an apprenticeship model, where we just say, hey, there are, in a group of 30 people, there's at least three people that have the potential for leadership. And your job is to find those people and turn them into leaders. And the easiest way to do that is find those people and give them some small role within the group. So at first, as the leader, you're going to look for some volunteers from a pipeline perspective to handle social. Or handle our serving opportunities, or handle the prayer requests and making sure those are distributed. So whether it's serving or whatever it is, giving those roles to somebody, be very specific on what you want, and give that out. Then invite those people into ministry by saying, hey, I want you to stay afterward. I know you read, the lesson beforehand every week, but, definitely read it this week. And then you just prepare to stay after for a little bit after everybody leaves. Cause I want to talk to you about something. And then it's the whole thing of, I do, you watch, we talk, and inviting them into ministry and then, moving them into, and through a development process where it's very intentional about the transference of responsibility, moving from intentional to guided to collaborative and finally equipped. And there's some lovely triangles that you can find in an amazing little book called No Silver Bullets. We've done that again on 90SL or... Yeah. It's part of Pipeline now as well. So it's a visual representation of the classic that you may have heard of. I do, you watch, we talk. I do, you help, we talk. You do, I help, we talk. And you do, I just watch, and then we talk.
Yeah.
That classic transference is what you're talking about here. And you need to identify three people that you're going to do that with. And P.S., as you're doing that with these people, you're asking them to identify somebody to give their job away to as well. Mm-hmm. So your serving person is also identifying somebody who shows up at the service projects so that they can give away their role in the same way. So, man, you are now modeling what you want to do with that person, and you're asking them to model it with somebody else, which is basically 2 Timothy 2:2.
Yeah. So the reason this is so important, it's not just the matter of, okay, I need to divide my work up, so I need an apprentice. No, the reason why you want that apprentice, or you want someone who is assisting you, someone who has an intentional role in your small group, the reason you want to call them into that intentional position is because then you can invite them into your leadership pipeline. You can give them a role description and say, hey, here is what success looks like. Here is what you're responsible for. Are you willing to do this? Are you up for this? And I know there's sometimes you look at your group and you're like, oh no, I think that person has a lot of leadership capacity. And you had asked them, you've asked them to host, you've asked them to do things, but there's been no formal responsibility. Well, if there has been no formal responsibility and now you go to them and you're like, hey, can you lead this group? That's a big jump for them. It's a big jump. You may not think that it's a big jump, but for them, they're like, whoa, I was just helping out. I had no idea.
This is not what I signed up for.
Yeah. I didn't know you had these plans for my life and all this. So then that becomes the first conversation that you have toward intentional leadership development, when really that should be just one along the way in their development. So that's the why behind what Todd was talking about. You need to invite them in, give them a clear role description, say this is what success looks like. And as they do that, you can actually assess, are they faithful, right? Are they available? Are they teachable? Are they growing in their competencies? Are they well? And you're able to assess how they do with real responsibility, with formal responsibility. And then that's where you can actually really see the difference between the weeds and the wheat, in a sense, to see who has the ability and who has the desire to move up. Because honestly, sometimes the individuals that you think would be the best leaders, they're not going to step up. And it might be because they're super busy at work, or one reason or another, or a character thing, or whatever it is. But sometimes you're like, man, but they could do this in their sleep, and they're not going to step up, versus someone who you might not have ever thought about. You invite them into that formal responsibility, and they're going to surprise you. They may not be like you. Right? They may lead differently than you. They may not be the personality. They might not have the personality that you usually thought of, but those individuals are often the ones that'll just blow you out of the water. So, Todd, before I hand it back to you for our last thought on maybe some ideas around or maybe the tension of breaking that group, because that is always a difficult thing to do in a small group. Before I throw it back to you, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor. You've probably heard about the movie Overcomer, but you may not know that there are a few books and Bible studies inspired by the film. One is called Define by Alex Kendrick and Stephen Kendrick, which is a book and Bible study based on insights from the book of Ephesians. You can find these books and Bible studies at lifeway.com/overcomer. All right, Todd, what are some last thoughts you have on leadership development and the tension of breaking up your group?
Okay, so first of all, it's really important that you do this, because you're early on in your ministry there, and what you do will affect the culture that comes down the road. So if you leave this group as it exists, that is going to become the normative for your church. If you go ahead and make the hard call and bust this up into three groups, you do a couple of different things. One, you establish this is what success looks like, and you celebrate it like crazy, and you celebrate that new leader like crazy. And as someone steps up from being the person who coordinates the serving opportunities to your apprentice, if that's what you want to call them, then celebrate that in front of the group. And that's when you say, okay, as they start to lead the group and I'm just here to help, or I'm just here to watch, that's when we're going to celebrate them in front of the group and begin to see who we're going to peel off to go with that person. The second thing that you do when you do that, besides establishing really good culture, the second thing that you do is add room for people. There is nothing that is more stickier than this small group. Your preaching is not stickier. Your worship service is not stickier. No program you have is stickier. And it's vitally important to connect these people with real community really quickly. And the way that that happens is in a small group, if you want depth. If you just want a connection, then a mid-sized community, you know, may be able to handle that. Mm-hmm. I would also say that you have a unique opportunity, and Daniel's the expert here, but you also have a unique opportunity to say, okay, well, you know, once a month or once a quarter, everybody's going to get together. You know, it'll be just like the olden days or whatever. But, you know, these three groups a year from now are hopefully going to be five or six groups. Mm-hmm. And we'll all gather, we'll all continue to gather in regional communities, or we'll all tend to gather at these, you know, strategic times of year. Maybe we all serve together, or maybe we all do whatever. The point is, you need both. You need both those sizes, because there's some people that won't like the intimacy of the 12 to 15 person group, even though that's what they need more than the other.
Yeah, completely. So, Bryce, you want to get this right from the beginning. And if you don't have formal apprentices or assistants or whatever that secondary leadership role is in a small group, and if you don't have that formally, I would say slow down, make sure you have those, so that when you ask those individuals to then lead the group, they have seen and personally experienced what it looks like to move up, so that that DNA gets replicated. If you just go ahead right now, next week, multiply your groups and then start the process of apprenticing, it is possible. You could definitely do that, but it's not going to be as part of the DNA and core of your groups. Maybe for you, but it's going to be harder for the other groups to do that. So hopefully that helps. And thanks again for listening in. And be sure to, if you haven't left a question yet for our podcast, this is episode 424. All you got to do is go to speakpipe.com/newchurches. You don't need to be a Plus member to submit that question in. Just submit it in on church planning, multi-site, multiplication, leadership development, anything related to your church and helping your church multiply. So that's speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on your mobile device, or if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com, hit this sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, and send it in. All right, we'll catch you next time.